Hey, Spencer, have you heard of Lisa Lampanelli?
Oh, you're talking about the queen of mean, right?
Yeah, but she's also become the queen of lean. Did you know that? She has a play called Stuffed, where she delivers brash, skinny insight from the fridge to your ears.
No.
I don't think that's what happens in the play.
I've actually heard reviews for the New York Times that have said Stuffed offers laughs, genuine pain, and even a bit of insight. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Why? Is that relevant to anything?
Well, Lisa Lampanelli, she's got a lot of street cred, and she's also got a new Feral Audio podcast where she and her co-host Mike Morse talk about health, food, body image, everything else to help you be the best you can be. That's a real hairpin turn for the Queen of Mean. She's stopped stomping on political sensitivities long enough to help you self-actualize and get engage in some self-care.
So what? She dishes out some tough love as she takes your questions about being fat, being skinny, being anything but right, and helps you grab a little self-acceptance? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but there's other stuff too. Like if you want to get yelled at by Lisa, you can email getstuffed@feralaudio.com and maybe she'll make you feel like a piece of shit on the podcast, or maybe she'll make you feel better. You don't know with Lisa Lampanelli. She's the queen of mean and lean. give her hotline a ring, 347-464-2654, and you might end up in the show that way too. But in either case, it's worth a listen. It's free. I think it's very interesting that she's like had some transformative nutritional experience that she and now is doing insights. Because, you know, what's interesting about the idea of Lisa Lampanelli talking about body image and stuff is that we already know that she doesn't give a shit about your feelings. So and what we probably need to do more of when we're talking about health issues and stuff is actually have some frank conversations. We're a very fat country, very diabetic country, very deluded, vain. Self-loathing, shallow country. What do we need to do to actually be healthy? I would trust the Queen of Mean turned Queen of Lean to tell me that. Yeah, so make sure you subscribe to Get Stuffed.
Get Stuffed. Kick the craving. Subscribe to Get Stuffed on iTunes, Stitcher, feralaudio.com/getstuffed, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. And we had the pleasure of speaking to someone involved with the movie.
So my name is Alvaro Rodriguez. I'm the screenwriter for The Last Rampage. As a writer, to me, I'm less interested in genre and more interested in character. And, you know, I've written in a lot of different genres, you know, kind of horror genre, thriller, or action movie, or kids movie, or, you know, different kinds of things. And it was always more, I was always more interested in character and hadn't really quite done something like this before, but was just really drawn to this idea of a guy like Gary Tyson who, you know, had been in and out of institutions from the time he was, you know, a kid. And having sort of raised three sons from behind bars, and how these three sons kind of grew up in the Church of Gary and thinking that their father had been, you know, unjustly accused and unjustly convicted and all of this stuff that they were getting fed from their mom, Dorothy, who's played in the film by Heather Graham. So to me, it was just, I was interested in telling that kind of a story, telling a family story. You know, to me, the most interesting stories are family in some, centered in some way. You know, they're elemental stories. They're stories that go back to, you know, to the most intimate and elemental parts of ourselves. So the idea of fathers and sons, you know, there's a line in the script about, in the movie about that, you know, where Gary tells his oldest son, you know, Donnie, there's only one law you got to worry about, you know, and that's a law of fathers over sons. And the only way you're going to, you know, get past that is, you know, by this, you know, by dying, basically, but kind of threatens him a little bit. But so that was really, you know, the touchstone for me, trying to figure out how to tell that story.
Don't miss Last Rampage, the true story of the prison break of Gary Tyson, in theaters and available on iTunes and all on-demand platforms today. For more information, visit truecrimelive.com or follow the movie on Twitter at Last Rampage Film or on Facebook.com/Last Rampage Film.
Zanies in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't care what happens in this show. It's already been the best night of my life. You people sat here for a good hour and a half. Let's thank Jim Lil for coming up and playing his heart out for us. Totally amazing. I have very good news for each and every one of you. Harmontown is now in session. Welcome to the stage, the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon. He's right there. You're going the wrong way.
Magical night, or is it just that?
For my money, I could just walk off stage and go home right now.
Yeah, this, well, maybe not for their money.
No,
I think, but it's noteworthy that, okay. I just like let's go to the timeline because we've been sitting in the back of the room, like hanging out with people.
Everybody, I've been doing countless Jaeger bombs with people. Yeah, thank you. Is it Bob, right?
Yes.
Bob and Jen, thank you. I'm not drunk.
It's sleeting and raining and snowing and yeah. there's ice daggers falling out of the sky. And everybody showed up. The show starts at 7:30. We're up here at 7:25 on the Nugget or something like that. We've been back there since 6. I don't know how the timing of it works, but it's like they're gonna get them in here. I don't know why everybody showed up early. But get them in, warm them up, light a fire, and then because we're making this movie, like one of the weird byproducts of making a documentary is, okay, you can't be playing Prince songs while everyone's sitting around having a good time. So yeah, exactly. It's a shitty corporate. It's one of the many little invisible ways that corporate America fucks you over. Like can't, oh God, Wang Chung can't be playing while I'm waiting an hour for the shit I bought a ticket to, and so you would be sitting here in abject silence. But we're in Nashville, Jeff, where music was invented three times over. The blues was invented here. Rock and roll was invented here, and grunge was then invented here.
Is that true?
Yes, it was in this very bar that Weezer's their van broke down and they said, you know what, let's just not get dressed up tonight. Let's wear a checkered shirt and not wash our hair.
At a club called the Ironic Old Opry.
Country, Western, blues, rock and roll, everything that calls itself music purportedly originated from this fertile crescent in the South. Also, Martin Luther King got shot somewhere in the state. Don't worry about it. Not holding you to that. We're more focused on the Elvis thing. Love you. Love you for it. No biggie. It's all about balance. It's all about perpetuation of cultural infamy. But only in this state, only in Nashville, only in this city, could you come in with no music to play when people are sitting and then go, hey, anybody able to fill an hour with a guitar? And one guy's like, yeah, I got a guitar in my wallet. What's his name? Joe Lil?
Jim.
Jim Lil. Joe is Southern for Jim. Jim Lil, this kid, this little child with his acoustic six string, came up here and filled like an hour of time while we did Jaeger bombs in the back. He sang songs about that he dedicated to Joseph Campbell. He sang the Community theme at the end. He He strummed and he hummed and he thumped and he bumped and he's the John Henry of fucking of legally clearable music. This is the city to be in if you need music. And I think also we've been working on this Harmontown theme, so we'll probably be bringing people up. I think there's probably some singers in the audience. It's Nashville. Don't shake your head, lady. I just want to put this out. I assume there's somebody who can do a mean beatbox in the audience. I expected a bigger reaction than that. Maybe not. Maybe Nashville rejects the beatbox as a valid musical instrument.
You do?
Oh, I do. Thank you. What was your name again?
Garrett.
Can you stand up and face everybody? And is this going to humiliate you if I say Neil Patrick Harris is? You probably get that a lot. Like yeah. I'm sorry. It's nerd on nerd violence. I shouldn't be doing it.
Who do you get, Dan? Do people say you look like
Randy
somebody?
Quaid? I get Randy Quaid. I want to get Bill Murray so bad. I just beg people to get Bill Murray. Yeah, sometimes people say Bill Murray. No one ever says Bill Murray.
What are the your neighbor, the lady, like the Armenian woman?
She always said I look like Russell Crowe. Yeah. I miss that so much. You look like... But she didn't know Russell Crowe's name. I would always have to tell her. She'd be like, who do you look like? And he was a gladiator. Nah, Russell Crowe. Yeah, that's it. Now I don't. Shut up. Music City, Jeff. Music City. Couple other nicknames for this town. The Athens of the South. A lot of schools, museums, and whatever. I'm assuming just a lot of columns and things. I don't know why. Athens of the South. I don't get it either. Little Kurdistan.
No one calls it that.
I Wikipedia'd the city.
Do we have any Kurds in the crowd tonight?
Any Kurds here? Wikipedia would have you wrong. Supposedly, there's the largest U.S. population of Kurds in Nashville. Do they just hate me? I was going to do a whole thing where I made a bookmark on my phone for Kurdistan. So I was going to try to riff like a Kurd targeting stand-up act.
You've been to Kurdistan? Neil Patrick Harris? Wait, what's your actual name? Garrett, sorry. You've been to Kurdistan.
Yeah.
Under what circumstances? You were in the Army. What was your MOS?
I was 21 Bravo.
What the hell does that mean? A 21 Bravo?
Yeah.
What is that?
Combat engineer.
Combat engineer.
So what's your MOS? What are you talking about? What are you guys doing? What's going on here?
Do you ever squeam squab a double walnut?
What? No, oh, sir, that's not real. That's not real language.
I made that up.
Squeam squab the double walnut.
What does it actually mean? No one seems to know the answer to that.
It's like a military occupational specialty.
Military occupational specialty. And so you're a combat engineer. Does that mean you blew up bridges and stuff like that? Or?
You build bridges and you blow stuff up. It's how we're recruited.
But what did you actually do?
Well, we actually blew up a lot of artillery shells.
Oh, so like blowing up, like... unused artillery and stuff?
Yeah, it's all over the country.
Were you in Iraq?
Yeah.
Really? How long did you serve?
I was in 3 years in Iraq.
Let's hear your yell.
he had a slightly honorable discharge. you are amazing out here, but you cannot be relied upon to sound like Al Pacino. And while that does not win or lose wars, we have to let you go.
Yeah, he did it wrong.
I imagine.
Yeah. Hua is Army.
Oh, you're Army. Okay.
And so what's your rank? Are you retired? Are you
I was sorry.
Separated?
Yeah.
Wanted to start seeing other branches of the military? So you're just done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough gig, man. So you were out in Iraq when things were hairy.
It's like a lot of dullness and then a few hairy hours. Like it's
incredibly dull, broken up, really
hairy. Just one of those dull afternoons when you're blowing up artillery and stuff like that.
I saw the Hurt Locker, so I think I know exactly. I might as well have been there.
People drive around Iraq with homies all by themselves all the time.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a nice stroll. What's the worst thing that could happen?
That sounds like such a bummer. I get like Facebook messages from guys that were like active service out there. They go like, I love community. I'm out here. I'm in this station and that station. I'm doing this and that. And I write back to them and go like, will you fucking stay safe? Will you just stay safe? Just get back home. And I don't know if that's the right response because they never write back. I don't know if it's because they're like, well, don't be an asshole. Like, tell me who I am. I don't know. I just want to like get back here, you fucker. My ratings are so low. They go, what are you doing out there?
So you
you watch my show? We need consolidation of the forces.
That's the limit that you support the troops is to the extent that they have a Nielsen box.
Yeah.
And
what are you
tent?
Doing? Yeah. Nashville, Jeff, named for Francis Nash. You know who Francis Nash is?
Yeah. I know, but do they?
He invented the typewriter. No, he didn't. I couldn't figure out Francis Nash. Are there any Francis Nash experts in the audience? Because I got blank stares. It's the city's named. There's a lot of things in the South named after Francis Nash. He was kind of a weird character. I couldn't really get a line on it. I Wikipedia'd Nashville, and I said, and then I was like, who's this Francis Nash guy? Is he a good guy or a bad guy? And I couldn't really figure it out, so I was wondering if there was anybody here.
Dan, I hate to interrupt this trenchant commentary on Nashville, but is there an audience member wearing one of our GoPro cameras on his head down in the front? Yes, there is. Wait, love it. So, right. So our asshole director just came and put a camera on your head? He didn't even ask. So you're going to get lots of awesome shots of Dan's balls during this.
In addition to the
ticket ball cam.
City sometimes called the buckle of the Bible Belt. I would figure my audience wouldn't approve of that, but I think that's mythologically important.
But they have the power to unbuckle it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't deny that power. All you have to do is go, ugh, and then the South's pants fall down. The whole country changes. But you can't deny the fact, I think, honestly, like we were in Atlanta and I really went to town on how politically or historically like important it was that we were in Atlanta. It was supercharged there. Here it could get a little uncomfortable talking about that, but like Nashville, what eclipses it is that throughout the decades, no matter what comes along musically, like Nashville just like, what is it? What is it, Jeff? Why do they love music so much? What's with them?
See, I love country music, but I like old country music. I'm not big... Yeah, like I don't really like the new, what they call like the Nashville sound, right? Like it's too overproduced for me. It's too, I don't know. As Waylon Jennings called it, he goes, it's flat belly country. Like a country musician should have a pot belly. He doesn't like any guy that sings country and has abs. I think that's a good barometer to go by.
I mean, I think this is where Garth Brooks invented the
typewriter,
the wire work, right? Yeah. Like if I were to float above the audience, I remember having a big fight with my mom about Garth Brooks. It's not important.
It sounds pretty important.
Because my mom, when I was growing up, she loved country music, and then I was like, oh, that Garth Brooks, he knows where it's at because he flies over the audience on a wire, and my mom was like, that, you know, he's an asshole, and I was like, fuck you, because I was really offended because I was starting to get into country music because Garth Brooks flew over it. That's why I said I didn't want to talk about it. I'm just gonna cry.
I thought you would not be on the Garth Brooks side. I had no idea.
No, I was trying to. I mean, I'm on the arguing with my mom side. Like, no matter what, I'm 40 years old. I'll have any excuse to fight with my mom. I was just like, oh, Garth Brooks, he's cool. I thought it would make her like me. And then she's like, nah, I'm not Garth Brooks. And I was like, I can't do anything right. It doesn't matter.
See, I want to go, because I've never been really, I've been through Nashville, but tonight, we actually, you know, the show's kind of early. We get to go out, and I've been told like I need to go out and hang out like on Broadway and go to some honky tonk bars. Like that's what I want to do. Like, no, huh? A Coyote Ugly? Okay, I take it back. I take it back. I went to a Coyote Ugly, Dan, on Thanksgiving a few years ago in New York, and not on purpose. I was with a friend, and it was Thanksgiving night, and I was with my friend Vanessa, and we were walking around like the Lower East Side, East Village, and we're trying to find a bar to go into on Thanksgiving, and I was really overdressed, and so was she. Went to a fancy restaurant, and we're just trying to find a nice bar to drink in, but everything was either closed, or you walked in, and it was so depressing because it was Thanksgiving, and it's just people like, just crying into their beers. Or there are bars where people are really trying to pretend that they weren't sad, that they weren't with their families. And it was really overcompensating, and it was just too much douchebaggery for one bar to contain. And so it was freezing out. Now the snow is falling. And we're like, look, whatever the next bar is, good, bad, or indifferent, we're going into that bar. And we see a sign up ahead, and we can see some neon. We go, okay, we're going to that bar. And a block away, she stops me, and she goes, Jeff, no! No, 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 no. I'm like, no, we said, we made a deal. We're going into that bar. And she goes, that bar is Coyote Ugly. Fuck it, we're going in. So we go into the Coyote Ugly. There's nobody there except three Korean gentlemen who are really, really trying to just dig it. Like trying to like, you know, they're hitting numbers at random on the jukebox and like a George Strait song that George Strait doesn't like comes on.
his ill-fated, I stubbed a motto.
So
I
go to the bar, and now when someone plays the songs that they are required by law, these two poor women that are kind of sexy have to get up on the bar and joylessly dance around for you. And it's really like, look, don't do this for me. Like I'll, whatever they're paying you, I'll double it. And I had this really nice tie on, this Vivian Westwood tie, and this woman, this young girl who's the bartender, I found out she's from Colombia, and she was just hot as a Colombian lunch. She was very sexy, and she jumps up on the bar, pours Cuervo tequila into her mouth, grabs me, squats down from on top of the bar, grabs my head, and spits a mouthful of Cuervo into my mouth, and I was like, swallow, barf, and then she takes some scissors out and grabs my brand new Vivian Westwood tie and starts to come at my tie, and I grab her hand like Robert De Niro in Awakenings. Like, and I can't, she's like, you can't wear a fucking tie in here. You cannot wear a fucking tie. it was that offensive an impression that she was doing of her homeland. And I grabbed her and I thought on my feet and I said, well, my father gave me this in his deathbed. My dad is not dead. I bought that tie. And she's like, okay. And she's like, well, then take it off and put it in your pocket.
Because the corporation that owns this bar told me I have to cut it off and hang it on the wall. That's a gimmick.
There are cameras everywhere. My family is in the back, duct taped to folding chairs. You have no idea how important this is to me.
Wasn't there a TV show called Coyote Ugly? Isn't that
a movie?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Piper, good sign that
Piper
nothing...
Caribou, whatever her name was in the thing.
Jeff, I just noticed these people while you were telling that story.
Yeah, she got all the drink orders wrong, and it was the worst. But then we ended up having fun because it was so bizarre.
I'm doing the rest of the show this direction. I don't know what you guys paid, but this doesn't seem fair. What have we done so far that you didn't want? There's a civil war
fuck
happening
you, stage
in Nashville.
Right audience. Also, my podium is awesomely made of plexiglass, so it's perfect crotch action for these people here. Ladies.
A cold, misty morning fades as the gray sun rises overhead, revealing the head of a mysterious robed warrior. He gestures at you and makes a compelling offer. Would you like to be a samurai? Would you take the way of the warrior? All it would take is to start snacking healthy with Nature Box. You make as to leave, but the Nature Box Samurai is instantly in your path. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. The Samurai reveals a Nature Box from his robes. His hands are aflash as he produces a box. A Nature Box full of Masa Crisps and Cherry Berry Bonanza. NatureBox recently made their service even better, so now you can order as much as you want as often as you want with no minimum purchases, and you can cancel at any time. And you'll never get bored because there's new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever... Oh, shit. Ninjas. NatureBox recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. With NatureBox, you never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback, and if you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free! The ninjas fall to the ground, defeated by superior snacking. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. And right now, you'll save even more. Sheathing his sword, the samurai continues down the road, away from you. Foes defeated, he sheathes his sword and begins to walk away. But he turns. And one more thing. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering Harmontown fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Harmontown. And in an instant, he's vanished. But his voice still lingers on the wind. That's naturebox.com/Harmontown for 50% off your first order. That's naturebox.com/Harmontown. Snack like a warrior.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Yes, Dan?
I talked to a guy back there while we were doing Jaeger Bombs. A authentic Nashvillian.
Yeah.
Named Josh, he brought moonshine with him, and I've never had moonshine, and I thought he could come up and give me a taste of moonshine on stage.
That sounds awesomely illegal. Let's bring him up, Josh, everybody.
It's one of the many, many hilarious gimmicks we can do here.
Okay, so a guy is coming up right now who looks like Dan Harmon's younger brother. And he has a brown paper bag. Go center stage, Josh.
Okay, correct something real quick. I'm not an authentic Nashvillian. I'm from Knoxville, but... Hey.
Boo! Hey.
Boo! I'm representing the hill people who make the moonshine, so comes in a jar. You have to drink it out of a jar.
All right, I'm drinking it out of the jar.
Wait, is this... Wait, but this is labeled. This is like...
This is labeled. I don't have a direct connection to the hill people, so I had to do what I could.
Are you a hill person?
No. But I feel like I can represent them.
That's good. I appreciate that. Okay, the mason jar is being cracked open.
Maybe.
See, right. Or potentially. Can we get a lady up to listen to this for him? There we are. We got it. Wow, that's right. Filled to the brim.
There you go.
Yeah, we learned a little bit of the... Do I drink the whole jar? Is that...
No. No, you. That'll be a very different Harmontown.
Well, I'm proud to be from Nashville, in the birth of the music scene. I'm drinking white lightning thunder, and you know my mother knows what you mean. I got a Elvis on the left side, got some Beatles on the right. I'm gonna go and do a southern thing tonight. I've got a moonshine and a wigwam wiggy. Whoop whoop dee doop dop dee. I'm Dan Harmon doing the southern thing.
Oh shit. That tastes like, what does that taste like? That tastes like,
it's probably watered down.
Drambuie or...
No, it's like, you know what it tastes like? And I don't mean, it tastes like grappa. It's like, I think, isn't that, that's like Italian moonshine. It's really nice. It's, it's hill grappa.
I tell you, it tastes like a fight with my girlfriend. it tastes like tonight Aaron and I are going to have a fight.
No, You could probably run your car on this. What is the proof on this thing, you know? 50%. 100 proof. Yeah, I mean, I've had...
Why is there a barcode?
It's called Old Smoky. Right. Old Smoky Tennessee Moonshine. It's quite good. From Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
No.
I love it.
I kind of... It's good. The second sip tastes better than the third.
Yeah.
Wait,
And then time folded in on itself.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, you drink it from a jar, and yeah. Thank you, Josh. Nashville.
I love it. This is the best. I think all shows should start with us at the bar with the crowd, with a local busker up here laying down the jams, and a dude comes up and just gives us booze.
Yeah. I don't know if they'd agree. I mean, we were thinking back there, like, let's start the show just earlier, but then, like, we didn't know if anyone was going to show up at the appropriate time. Then they'd come in and we'd be doing, like, a raffle.
I feel like we should get Jim Lil up here at some point and have a guitar and maybe improvise.
No, we definitely should. Here's what I want to do in Nashville. Like, if we do nothing else, because it's Music City, USA, I'm sorry, I'm going to be burping.
Are you okay?
Moonshine.
You know a comic died here in 1983, the year it opened. I was talking to the owner.
It was not moonshine related.
No, that was
1983 related. guess what he was on.
It was probably a lot of things.
We definitely got to get the dude with the guitar up, and we're gonna get some Rihannas and some Didos up here. Tennessee, last state to leave the Union when the Civil War conflict happened, or I'm sorry, aggression of the North. What do you call it?
The War of Northern Aggression.
The War of the North being an asshole. First state to be readmitted. I think that's very interesting.
Wow. Yeah,
Tennessee,
is.
Last one out, first one back in.
Yeah.
Like just a quick, like, fuck it. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. Which way is the wind blowing? North? Okay, I'll go.
I support that. That I think that makes this state like my, like, I, we were in Georgia and it was like, holy shit, these guys, like, they got the brunt of it, but I like the idea of a state that was like, is there a war? Is there a war? Okay, fuck. not like the French in World War II, not like your pussies, but more like you're practical. Like who, what the fuck was that war about? We don't even know. Still trying to figure it out.
I'm pouring myself a moonshine rocks.
I tell you a little. I don't know if this will be entertaining to people because I'm three sips of moonshine in. Thank you, Mandy. At the hotel on the elevator opened up and there was a guy. He worked for the hotel. He was going down. He didn't need to get off on the floor that we were getting off on, but he had a big luggage rack full of paint supplies and shit. And Aaron and I were going down. We were trying to squeeze in, and he's like, you know what? Let me get off, so you guys can get on, and I'll take the next elevator. The elevator door closed, and Aaron and I are sitting in the elevator, and Aaron, referencing the guy that just did that, went, huh, that's what they call Nashville style. And I said, I think you mean Southern hospitality. And she said, no, it's Nashville style. I knew it wasn't funny. I thought it was really funny because I was thinking in my head, that's Southern hospitality. Nashville style. She made up a new thing. Sorry.
Is there a Nashville style?
I don't know if there's a...
Somebody out there?
I'm sure there is, huh? But I'm sure it has nothing to do with elevators.
Yeah, so we've gone to, so far, well, Phoenix, no one's proud of being from Phoenix. I'll erase that one. But Atlanta and Austin that we've been to, people very, very proud of being from those cities. I take it you guys are all pretty proud of being from Nashville too, right? Like, is it? No? Okay, I take it back. You guys hate Nashville.
There's always going to be, Jeff, there's always going to be a swirl of, like, weird reactions to that shit. Like because people have, like, this need to go, like, fuck the, and I support you. Whatever you think coming into our carnival town, you know, fuck what you think. Like, I'm different. We're cosmopolitan. We're different. They cry out for individuality.
Mandy cries out for moonshine.
No. You and I are not going to go into a single town where we go, hey, Nashville, you love tires, right? And everyone goes like, we love tires. There's always somebody who's going to go like, we don't love tires that much. Fuck you. Like, we're human beings. Like, we don't represent tires. We're in Music City, USA. I don't know if I've said that enough.
Yes, you have said that.
Also known as the Paris of Georgia, whatever the fuck. Jeff, the Pringles dick song.
Yes.
I wanted to get Jim Lil.
Yeah, but does he know it? He doesn't know the song.
I bet you could teach
Jim,
him.
Jim, do you know the Pringles dick song? Well, get your guitar up here. I'll get my ukulele from backstage, and we'll learn it together.
This is in preparation of we want to leave Nashville with a superior version of the Harmontown theme. Want to do some practicing. Jeff's got his ukulele. We got this kid here.
Welcome Jim Lil back to the stage, everybody. Okay, so does anybody know the Pringles dick song? I don't know if anybody from the podcast, probably not. It's a song I wrote. It's about on a tour bus and you have Pringles and you hold them in your lap like it's your dick. So it goes like this. So I think it's in D. It goes D, G, A7. I think there's like a B flat in there somewhere.
It's like Klingon.
Yeah, and then so it goes. Okay, I'll go. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why. I don't really have a Pringles dick, I just keep my dick inside. I keep my dick inside a Pringles can because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out. No, I never found out. I never really found out why. You got
that? I think I got that. Okay. I think I got that.
What tempo should we do it in? How should we do it? Do you want to keep it style, or should we make it move a little bit?
let's make this sucker move. Let's do this in a Nashville style. It's a thing. It's a thing now.
Nashville style.
Oh, some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why. I don't really have a Pringles dick, I just keep my dick inside. I keep my dick inside a Pringles can because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out. No, I never found out, I never really found out why.
Yo, 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 potato chips on my dick. I wanna put my dick inside a stick. Got a can on my hand, don't wanna do it right. I thought I'd do a rap bridge, but I'm doing badly. Oh, deep tap, loop, deep tap, I'll make it mouth noises and strutting. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry, I got cocky because you guys were having fun. Seemed like you guys were having fun.
Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found
Sorry.
Out why. Sing it, everybody.
I won't do it again.
I don't really have a Pringles dick. I just keep my dick inside.
So sorry about what I did.
Keep my dick inside a Pringles can because yeah. I keep my penis safe and dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out. No, I never really found out why.
He go, oh, no.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Stay up here, Jim. Park it.
Will you stay here?
Yeah, make yourself comfortable.
Because we've got this theme song developing. Is it time to bring up like we bring up some female vocalists to?
Do we have any more microphones back there? We have Spencer's mic.
Do we have 50 more microphones?
Now, I was introduced, a girl came up and she said her friend wants to sing. Is Ashley out there right now? Ashley, to the stage. You've been outed by your friend. Was it Melissa? Yeah, Melissa has
I volunteered.
She volunteered you. All right, Ashley, everybody. Here's your microphone. Hello.
Hello.
Now, Ashley, have you heard the song? Have you been following the podcast?
Is this the penis one?
Probably.
What podcast are you listening to?
If you have a penis song.
No. If you mean Pringles dick, then no. Our song about Harmontown and pee and poo, have you heard that song?
No, but I will collaborate.
All right, so okay, here we go. We'll play it to just so we can get you up to speed.
We'll give you a little primer. You can't just say syllables.
Yeah.
So it goes like this.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn your frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. Come on down to Harmontown. Turn your frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Take it, try it.
Come on down to Harmontown. My poop is brown.
Overqualified. Overqualified.
make up your own words if you want to, because we're getting tired. We've become tired of our own words to that. So if you want to just freestyle, here we go. Try.
Come on down to Harmontown. Take a trip around upside down.
Sorry.
It's all right.
You guys write the joke. Right, I'll just sing harmony.
So, Jim, it's E minor, C, G, D, I think. Yeah.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
You guys are some of the best songwriters I've heard in Nashville.
I've outdone myself on this one. I won an Emmy for it.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn your frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Salt shakers on the table. I hope I'm rapping. I hope I'm able. I'm in a club called Sadie's in Nashville. I hope I give you the whole ticket price bill. I hope I'm able to give you what she's doing at the same time as I'm rapping. It's so confusing. It's so weird. It's happening at the same time. My beard is...
Okay. Ashley, we open in 3 nights. Alright.
And there's not a single person in Nashville that can do percussion.
Oh, Josh! Wow, Josh!
Josh,
purveyor of corn squeezins and percussion. Dan, are you okay?
Yeah.
You're hanging by a thread.
I just
over
need
there.
One. I just
I've
need
never
one,
seen you like this, man.
Just give me one more sip of the.
Now, Ashley and Jim and Josh, we're gonna send you back. We're gonna bring you back up later on for the
finale.
Yeah, for the reprise.
All right, we'll start practicing.
All right, good. Yeah.
Yeah, going back and like make the G chord match the C chord. No, that's Nashville.
No, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No. Hey, Josh, Jim, Tracy, Morgan.
Tracy Morgan was up here? I suppose now is the time to bring up our dungeon master, Spencer Crittenden. Can you bring him up? How you doing, Spencer? We're sorry to keep you waiting so long, man.
What's up? Oh, no, it's all good. I was just in the back there.
You sharpening your dice?
You soak them in alcohol.
Is that true?
Yeah, it appeases the gods of luck.
Well, I've been soaking myself in alcohol, and I'm very appeased.
Well, I can't roll you too easily, but let's see.
Do you want some moonshine? Do you drink?
This is bad.
Spencer, have some moonshine. You have to. We're in Nashville.
Because Now, Spencer on the road, he's a huge fan of Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is originally a slang term for moonshine.
Yeah.
Because they made it. They made it by the moonlight. If I'm not, you're gonna walk the walk. The dew and the thing and the. So this is some real Mountain Dew.
If I vomit, you guys, don't hold it against me.
I never will. I'll slather myself in it.
My lips are numb.
he announced it. All right.
This is a tour of firsts. We certainly have the first comedy tour, I think, to travel on a tour bus with our own Dungeon Master. Almost certainly we're the first show to have a Dungeon Master drink moonshine before mastering a dungeon. So this is a...
Probably the last.
All right, do you want to dispense our character sheets there?
Yeah, we're going to need Aaron up here then.
Oh, I also... let's bring up Aaron McGathy. Aaron McGathy, dance girlfriend, Mulrain Sedana. Aaron, everyone.
I love your Nashville style.
How would you define Nashville style, Aaron?
Kindness from strangers. It's kind of hospitality in a not north region, but like below it. Nashville style. Can I get some of that moonshine?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to commit to this fight that we're having later. Yeah. What should we fight about?
I feel like I drank a tree. It just feels like drinking a tree.
It's really good.
It's so good, but
well, and you know, drinking too much makes Spencer sick.
Yeah, that's why I said the vomit thing. I just want to be cool, you guys.
No, don't do it. Don't do it,
Spencer. You're in safe surroundings. We'll take very good care of you.
Unless that guy poisoned everyone.
Oh, I think it tastes fine. It's like water.
Oh, it tastes like water.
No, it doesn't.
I always drink my water from under the sink. That's where I find my water.
Who's got the lid?
I got it.
Can I? Yeah.
Take one and pass it down.
All right. We're all going to fuck tonight, you guys.
Spencer, if you would, get us up to date.
Last time, Sharpie and Quark parted ways with Mulrain, the half-elf. The ranger had some business to attend to elsewhere with arrows and possibly magic belts to locate. The duo pressed onwards, hoping to arrive in time to assist Mango against the threat of Admiral Darkstar's Dark Armada. Arriving at the scene of a great battle, the heroes watched in horror as legions of cylindrical constructs pushed back the barbarian horde. The cylinders seemed to be pressing towards a great excavation site, a huge pit in the ground near the yellow camp. In a moment of clarity, or madness, Sharpie leapt into action and hurled Quark at one of the floating cylinders. Clinging on for dear life, Quark could only watch in confusion as a swarm of cylinders descended into the pit, retrieving a massive golem. A flying ship reeled it in and then flew away. With Quark in tow, the cylindrical army retreated to the ship. The ship sailed north. The group was split.
That's right. I don't know if you heard that podcast.
Yeah, so I've reluctantly clung on to a flying cylinder and boarded a giant spaceship, which is presumably Admiral Darkstar's mother ship, right?
Perhaps.
Right. So I'm separated from Sharpie and Mulrain for the first time.
I should mention that your healing pendant has brought you back to full health.
So I'm back to 40 hit points?
Yeah.
40 hit points, motherfucker!
Hit points! 40 hit points.
I'm sorry, it's the moonshine. I'm sorry. Oh, boy.
They love hit points.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
All right, so do I go first or what?
If you want to decide for yourselves or I could roll randomly.
I'll decide to go first.
All right.
I examine my new strange surroundings.
Hanging on for dear life on the Candroid, you watch as a line of the constructs flies back into the ship. The room you're now inside of is large, full of metal racks. Several circular hatches on the floor look as if they exit out from the bottom of the ship. The Candroids hear the float onto metal racks before settling down into place with light clunks. You can hear the hum of large machinery coming from all around you.
Um, So are there any doors in the room I'm in?
You can see a large metal door opposite the hatch you came in on. Above you is a metal ladder leading to a hatch in the ceiling.
I climb the ladder.
You climb the ladder. Now you're at the hatch. It is closed.
I use all my barbarian strength to open the hatch.
You use all of your barbarian strength. No, it just opens.
Yeah, okay.
As you poke
better
your
safe
head,
than sorry.
As you poke your head through the hatch, you can see the slithering yellow demons that you fought before.
Ooh.
They wail painful wails as they move about. They take no notice of you. Metal pipes, tubes, and gauges are lining the walls of the chamber. You can see three doors, left, right, and center.
Are those doors labeled in any way?
Left, right, and center.
That's good thinking. Can I make it to a door undetected?
You can certainly try.
I use my gnome ability to sneak, and I sneak towards the first door, the left door.
All right. Do you have any ranks and move silently?
Don't I?
Probably not, but...
I thought I was like good at like sneaking about.
Maybe.
I have fast movement. I use my fast movement.
All right. Moving swiftly, you cross the floor. You make it towards the... What door? The center door?
Left door.
Left door. This door is locked. There's strange script written on the door. You don't understand the language.
I go to the center door.
You approach the center door. You hear the sound of large explosions coming from the other side of the door.
Oh, nice.
I open the door.
You open the door, and what you see is so... We cut to another character.
Okay, all right. Yeah, act break. Gold bond powder.
Sharpie, you're standing out front of Yellow Camp. Corpses and destroyed machines litter the ground. The remaining barbarians are hauling their own into the great tent. The gnolls are also gathered around their dead, but rather than burying or hauling the corpses, the gnolls strip their brethren and then consume the fallen. Cannibalism is never glamorous.
Yes.
You can see your father standing at the entrance of the great tent. He's surveying the work being done. From the east, you can see a horse and rider fast approaching.
Dad.
Yes? I mean, yes.
Come clean with me. What the hell's going on? Who's this Admiral Darkstar?
I don't know. They just came down in those ships. Did you see that shit? That was crazy. The sky opened up. But okay, I got some bad news to tell you. You know how I said I had like a couple shards?
Yeah.
They're gone.
What do you
mean? I still have yet to poop out that other one, but
wait, what do you mean?
I think they've been stolen.
Dad.
Gasp.
You know what? I grew up my whole life thinking that you thought I was a piece of shit. I come back. Turns out you're a piece of shit!
Well, that's the barbarian way!
Well,
he does a little dance.
What was that?
The barbarian way.
It's like Nashville style.
Nashville style!
Open Nashville style!
Okay,
lame. Yeah, lame. Fine. I accept that I'm lame.
Where did your friend go?
I hoisted him onto a cylinder, and he's now in the mothership of these things that you're fighting with that you don't know anything about.
And I'm a piece of shit? Are you gonna go after him?
I'd like to.
Okay. Well, can you fly? You're a wizard, right?
A lizard?
A wizard.
I'm sorry, Dad. I've had a lot to drink.
I can't enunciate.
Yes, I'm a wizard. Dad, I can't fly. I can feather fall when you throw me out a window. Well, I can abate physical feeling when you hit me with a belt. I can create a bubble around myself emotionally when you make me feel like a piece of shit. That's not even magic. That's just therapy.
What is therapy?
Dad. I love you. I hug him. I give him a plus one hug.
Only one?
Yeah.
Hug successful. You seem to have broken through.
Dad, don't you get it? Power doesn't have a definition. Some of us are magicians. Some of us are barbarians. Power is power. Like, there's nothing more important than the bond between father and son. Like you're a barbarian. I'm a magic user. It's just, that's the way it goes. The important thing is our name. We gotta bring these fucking ships down. My friend is up on one of them. What are you doing?
Logging in my iPad. Oh, you've touched him. You've touched. Your words have touched him.
All right.
The hug was touching. Touching occurs. Says, you're right. You know, you are my son, and you're greater at magic than I will ever be. So now it's time for you to have this. He takes the multicolored cloak off his shoulders and bestows it upon you. He says, this cloak is made from the very canvas that forms these great tents and is infused with great magic. It can give you the power of limited teleportation.
Yeah! Limited teleportation is my power. I got it by minute, hour by hour. I got a cloak from my dad. Now I can go places. Whoa, yeah! All races. Oh, shit. All right. Sorry. Little dance break.
Mulrain, you're among the trees in a small grove.
Aye.
Few venture to this grove as knowledge of the magical forest died along with your five children in the massive blaze that consumed your home.
Yes, I remember. I think about it every day.
You hear the whinnying and neighing of a struggling horse not far off, breaking your meditation.
Is there an animal in pain? I rush to the animal.
Whinny, neigh. You see a horse tied to a tree and a woman sitting on the ground propped up against a tree. Upon closer inspection, you realize the woman is dead. Her throat is slit and a dagger is sitting on the ground nearby. There's a piece of parchment
Jesus
on the paper.
Christ.
It's a harsh world. There's monsters and
they're
shit.
They're on spaceships and I'm dealing with a mutilated woman. Fine.
It's important.
Dear woman, I must bury you. I must show you the honor that my children were not shown.
She doesn't respond.
No, you must be awake. Please, wake up, please. I slap her face in the sad way when someone does it in a movie based on a Michael Crichton film. I keep on hitting her face.
Yep.
I try to untie the horse.
You untie the horse. It stands and regards you.
Ah, dear horse, I regard you as well. I nuzzle the horse.
The horse is nuzzled. It seems as if it wants to say something. No, not like that. You have wild empathy. You can empathize with the horse. It seems to say...
I use my wild empathy.
You can ride on me. Horses aren't very eloquent.
Dear horse, I hear your message and I shall do your bidding. I will ride you.
All right. The horse is just standing there now.
The horse is standing there. Okay, I leap upon the horse, and I'm really cute when I do it.
Leaping upon the saddle, you notice a bit of paper sticking outside the saddle.
I ignore the paper. I'm just
you
kidding.
I pick up the paper.
That's a good
idea. Always ignore the paper.
Yeah, fuck it.
I read the paper.
Never read the paper.
Probably nothing.
To whoever reads this, know that I was a man. Known for my comically oversized pants, I was always tripping over my own legs. In search of a belt, I finally found one after slaying a group of orcs. When I put it on, I realized that I'd become a woman. So I killed myself. Have a nice day. Don't wear this belt, unless you're into that sort of thing. Signed, Baggy Pants O'Houlihan.
It's a note from Sinbad.
Oh my. I'm excited. I start to cry a little bit. I do a little dance. I find the belt. The belt's around the dead woman, right?
Yes.
I grab the belt.
That happens.
I put the belt on.
You put on the belt. You're transformed into a man, a woman. Woman, man, woman.
What? Who? Whoa! Ooh! I'm back. I shake out my long, long hair, and I puff my breasts. That's a thing, right? Are you looking to see if puffing your breasts is a thing?
Critically puffed.
I must find Sharpie. But first, I fashion a dress out of leaves.
That happens.
And I get on the horse and I start heading towards Sharpie.
Okay. Cut back to Quark. Which door were you going for again?
I was going to the door with the explosions going on behind.
Ah.
Center door.
You open the door. The room is long, running the length of the ship. Several cannons are lined up, aimed outside of the ship. A few of those yellow demons, as well as one black creature, are roaming up and down the aisle. Occasionally, one slithers up to a cannon, adjusts it, and fires it off with a loud explosion. They don't regard you.
Are these the harpoon cannons, or just regular?
These are regular cannons.
Regular cannons. Hmm. Is there anything beyond is there a door beyond those people?
There's no door. It just leads back to the main room.
Can I intimidate them?
You intimidate, which there's two different kinds of monsters.
I intimidate who's more threatening, the slimy guys or the black dude? No, I didn't mean it like that.
I'd say the black creature is a bit more threatening.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, well, typical.
I try to intimidate the black guy. Oh.
What's your intimidate bonus?
My intimidate, where the hell, 9.
You intimidate him. He doesn't seem to speak the same language as you, but he cowers in fear. He starts hissing.
Power attack.
1, 2, 3.
What's the difference? You should. I always say
the
more, 3.
The higher the number, the less accurate, but the more damage.
Okay, 2.
2.
Yeah.
Oh, critical hit.
Fuck yeah. Y'all ready for this?
Aaron wants to move.
You slice the monster in half and it burns into pieces.
All right. What do the slimy guys do?
They look at you before continuing on.
I run past them to the opposite end of the corridor.
That happens.
I look for a door to move through it.
There's no other doors, just the one that leads back to where you came.
Hmm. Say what? Berserker. She wants me to go into berserker rage. I don't even know. Is there any use for me to use these cannons?
I mean, if you want to like shoot things, maybe, like on the ground.
Say what? Attack the slugs with your berserker rage. Attack the slugs, but they're not doing me any dirt.
But they're firing the cannons.
Yeah. Okay, so I use flaming sword on one of the slimy guys.
Yeah.
You miss.
Shit. Now what?
The slug turns and faces you. It quickly slithers to a button and hits it.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
You hear a siren. Cut to... Dan.
Oh, yeah.
You're back with your father. You're having a tender moment.
Right.
The horse and rider approaches.
But he gave me his curtain, right? His,
yeah, he has your cloak.
Cloak.
It rides up. It's an elven... It's a half-elf female.
Yay! Hi. Hi.
Mulvane. You're a woman.
Yes, I am. I shake out my hair, and it's like sparkles and stars fall from my hair.
I have my dad's cloak now. This is a relationship born in horrible self-interest.
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, I can provide for you now because I can teleport, and now you have a vagina. I feel like we've.
I always had a mind vagina. On my way over here, I realized that you should have fallen in love with me as a person, And not as the beautiful woman that I am, so perhaps for a little while we should just be companions.
I... What? Ooh,
dungeon snap. Dungeon snap!
I have an aside with the horse.
The horse looks at you.
Horse, I love him so much, I just want to know that it's real.
I'm just a horse.
And that's why I love you too, horse. That's why I love you too.
I love hay.
Oh, horse. I turn back.
Hey, listen, I don't know what I did wrong before you were a chick, but I think you're really attractive now. I did. Well, my friend is on a spaceship.
Yes, and let's help him. Yes, he's always been there for me.
Yes, let's go rescue him.
No, please, let's rescue him.
Yes.
No, let's rescue him. Let's please. I'll be there.
Dad.
Hey, what? Huh?
Is there any way I can use your coat of teleportation to teleport up to the spaceships that...
Well, you...
Can I grab your moonshine? Can I take your moonshine?
You're hitting that pretty hard, man.
This jar is like half empty.
Can I grab your... Can I grab your smart juice from you?
You can teleport to anything you see. Maybe. Or, like, there's a couple places you could just go to without seeing. You gotta finesse it. Not good with the magic.
Do I see the Dark Star starships?
You can see it on the horizon.
All right.
It's very far away.
I use my cloak to try to teleport to the to them.
I jump inside the cloak.
In a whirling flourish, you teleport. You find yourself in a metal room. Cannons light the room, and a barbarian gnome stands before you.
Hey! I did it!
Sharpie!
I teleported myself to certain death.
Am I there or I'm still
You're there.
Okay. Hey!
You're all there.
Sharpie!
Are you there?
Mulrain!
It's me, and now I'm a lovely lady.
Wow, that changes everything. Nice leaf dress.
Thank you. I fashioned it.
Meanwhile, there's a slimy guy who's firing cannons over here. Little help?
I take two arrows. I fire the arrows at the slimy guys.
Do you have your sheet? What's your attack bonus?
It's like 1,000. It's like 1,000.
You hit with both arrows.
Woohoo! Really?
Yeah.
I hit with two arrows.
Your arrows strike the remaining demon in the eyes. It falls dead.
Huh? I just helped you.
1,000 bonus.
Well, he knew I was kidding. He adjusted it.
I read it on her sheet.
All right.
It's plus 3.
All right, we should probably stop there, right?
Cliffhanger!
Yeah, that's good.
Cliffhanger!
Rhetoric Coffee is a subscription service delivering the best coffee you've ever tasted. That's not hyperbole. Rhetoric Coffee commissions original art directly from comic book artists and then hand screen prints them on each bag. Each one you receive has a special life and is a unique organic work of art.
Feel good about drinking ethical coffee for once in your life, you horrible monster. Rhetoric goes above and beyond fair trade, not just for their coffee, but in how they pay the artists. The relationship with their artists allows the artists to continue making prints of their original work while allowing them full use for Rhetoric's projects. Everybody wins.
Except Afghanistan. Each roast is completely unique. You won't taste these complex flavors anywhere else. Their commitment to quality is top-notch. They are drinking what they are selling.
Now, people at Rhetoric will tell you that their coffee is not conflict coffee. I'm not totally certain, but they keep protesting that it's not, which makes me wonder whether or not all of their coffee is conflict.
Go to rhetoriccoffee.com, sign up, and use the promo code FERAL for 30% off your first roast. F-E-R-A-L is how feral is spelled. Just volunteered that for you.
Spencer, did you know that all of MeUndies are made out of Rhetoric Coffee?
Yeah.
That's how they get their underwear so soft?
That's how they get that distinctive crunch.
Whoa. This is synergy. That's Rhetoric, R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C, you post-Trump millennial illiterate. Rhetoric is spelled with an H, like rhesus monkey. Oh, yeah, that clarified it for you, because you're so fucking smart. dipshit. That's Rhetoric, R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C, coffee.com. Sign up and use the promo code Feral for 30% off your first roast.
Only available on the dark web.
Next to a picture of Adam Baldwin's balls.
Can I get those sheets?
You okay, Dan?
Yeah. I'm fine.
You seem like you're kind of just descending into some sort of weird madness.
I may be slowly going blind, as they say. It's Nashville.
Can I leave yet?
That was awesome.
The reason why rock and roll and blues and grunge, I think, were invented here is because there's no wrong answers. And so we have to finish up the show with I'm sorry. I know we could be here forever. we have to. Holy shit! That moonshine fucked me up bad. I'm so sorry. If you want your money back, I'm in back.
I think as drunk as you might be right now, I think now is the time to test your rapping abilities because throughout.
Before we do, can we do one thing first? The camera crew had. Can we outfit me with the Jacques Cousteau? I want to work the crowd.
Okay. Okay. Can we get Dan the chest GoPro camera? All right.
We had this thing. Like,
Ryan from our crew, everybody, is that how it's coming up? He's going to outfit.
I think working the crowd lately.
I think we have to. Dan's worried about his rapping abilities, and they're not getting any stronger for some reason. You'd think that as much as Dan raps about fucking people's mamas, that there would be some notable improvements. But I think maybe you can harness as you're being harnessed. Literally, you can. Okay.
All right.
You can harness.
I want to come out there. I'm gonna work the crowd.
All right. Do you want? Are you gonna be rapping? You want a beat?
No. This isn't about rapping. This is about personal relationships. Like, I want to know who's out there.
Need a beatboxer.
Yeah. Work in the crowd. Thank you, sir. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, go work stage right. They've been neglected tonight. Can you make it over there?
Oh, yeah.
this is going to be a fucking fiasco. I know it.
Oh. All right, this guy first. What's your name?
Zach.
Nice try. That's how you work the crowd. You ask people shit, and then you make fun of them. What's your name, ma'am?
Tonika.
How do you know when you finished? All right. Sorry. I'm gonna get personal.
He's so drunk.
What was your name?
Tonika.
Tonika. More like Fun Ega. Are you from Nashville?
No.
Good. Me neither. What are you doing here?
Acting.
What for?
For fun.
Why?
Because?
What do you mean? Working the crowd! Yeah! Tonika! Oh. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah. What are you... Why sit here?
Best seat in the house?
Best seat in the house? More like worst seat in the apartment. Hey, no, take it easy. If you could have anything you wanted, what would you have? Sorry, that was the... all right, Jeff, give me a second.
Okay.
What was your name?
Sarah.
Sarah. We got Sarah back here, Jeff.
Right.
Yeah, Jeff, Sarah, what's your favorite car? I heard Ferrari. Okay, Jeff, this isn't working out so good. Working the crowd.
Are you going to sing an R&B song to her right now?
No. All right, let me try it. All right, what's your name, sir?
Sing a sexy R&B song, Dan.
What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew. Who? What's the name of the girl that broke your heart the most?
Oh, shit. Viv.
Viv? Shit. You playing it? You playing the song?
I'll give you a rap beat. How about that?
Yeah. What was your name again, sir? Andrew.
Yeah, I think Dan...
Andrew got his heart broke by Viv.
Would you fuck his mama?
I don't think so. I think tonight's about reaching out to him. All right, let me keep working the crowd. I'm sorry. Okay. What's your name?
Haley.
Haley? How do you know when you're finished? All right. Wait.
Dan, it seems like you're afraid of human connection right now.
What's your name?
Matt.
Matt? I don't think so.
I feel like you're glossing
over. Work in the crowd!
You're glossing over real humanity out there, Dan.
What's your name?
Jonathan.
I don't think so. All right. Hold on a second. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'm going deeper than anyone's ever worked any crowd. I'm going back to the people that have never been worked. These guys never thought they'd be talked to, did you? What's your name?
Matt.
What do you do?
For a living?
How do you know when you're finished?
All right, Jim Lill back to the stage, and Ashley, or who is it? Yeah, Ashley, get back up here, and Josh on percussion. Let's get the band back together. You can share a stool. All right.
I apologize, everybody. Honestly, all your money will be sitting in a pile by the exit. You can just take whatever you thought tonight cost you. Some of you drove here 6 hours. Just take $600. I will support you. That's all I want.
Why are you so down on yourself right now?
Well,
it's almost like you drank like 4 ounces of
alcohol?
high octane depressant.
What's the chord progression of the Harmontown song?
E minor, C, G, D.
If you're going to join us in Charlotte, learn this. Bring it. Such an honor to be with good people, from church to church, steeple to steeple. I saw your mama, sucked her titties. I've never been in such a good city. Nashville got horrible racisms. Doesn't matter, there's no schism between you and between me. Let's go south and let's go.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Turn that frown upside down. He is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. I'm too drunk, too much moonshine. I'm sorry I didn't drink more white wine. I just wish I could hang out and talk to you. I'm so sorry my set turned to pee and poo. I didn't mean to disappoint you. $22 is what you spent. I let you down. Hold it. Okay. All right, fine.
Yellow, blue, is brown.
At the end of the station, I can't take it no more. I feel like a bad person. Oh shit, it's terrible watching this happen. Don't clap, don't laugh, don't applaud. You're just looking at a guy that's a clown. He's traveling across the country, he's got shit to write, but instead he's going around and doing this. It's a terrible thing to do. I'm so sorry that I made a friend of you. You guys were very fine in the back, and you bought me Jager bombs, and now I gave you a price attack. That means, what does it mean? Get it.
Come on.
Shame!
He is yellow, blue is brown.
gonna drink a mason jar of lightning. I'm tired of rapping, I wanna start fighting. I'm gonna have a couple fuckers on guitar. I wanna fuck your mama so hard she plays sitar. Fuck her all the way to India. I fucked your mama. Fucked your mama. God damn it. Shit. I can't let Nashville end like this. I'm gonna do good by him, the invented Elvis. I'm gonna fuck your mama so hard I split her pelvis. I'm gonna fuck your mama, they invented blues. I'm gonna fuck your mama, she can't win, she lose. Come on down to Harmontown. Yo! Turn around upside down. Bitch, let it go.
I want to thank Jim Lil, everybody. Keep Jim Lil, Ashley, Josh on the Moonshine, Aaron McGaffey, Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. This is Dan Harmon.
United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.